Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Oof, it was close. It was nervy up until the final seconds, but Roma, they pull out yet another victory, winning 2-1 this evening over Como. Before getting into all of the action that took place, a thank you and a welcome to our newest patron over at Patreon, who has a fantastic name, Hoosier Dropout, which Hoosier, so from Indiana,
of course,
Dropout. Maybe he went there and dropped.
Can I use this opportunity before we say thank you to all of our wonderful patrons who make this show possible? If you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/RomaPress. Of course, wow. We got it all out of the way. I just wanted to use the Hoosier Dropout mention to pay tribute to Gene Hackman.
Yeah, great. Yes,
who passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 95. Someone who was possibly the greatest actor who ever lived, and who played in a movie called Hoosiers about the Hoosier basketball team from the 1950s. So, if anyone is interested in paying tribute to one of the legends, go out and watch Hoosiers with Gene Hackman and Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, well, Dennis Hopper, because I love entertaining my kids with 90s movies, in particular horrible 90s movies. Dennis Hopper, we were just subjected to the monstrosity that was the Mario and Luigi film with Dennis Hopper.
Oh, holy moly. He was there. He was, wow.
Yes.
He was in it.
It Jesus. Was.
Bob Hoskins.
And John Leguizamo. Come on.
John Leguizamo, of course. But I didn't know that Dennis Hopper was there. Jesus Christ.
Okay. Yes.
He had a bad run. But I think we can all forgive him because of the character he plays in True Romance, you know, and that scene with him and Christopher Walken, where he calls Christopher Walken a kind of bad word. Because of his Sicilian heritage and knows the ends that awaits him is fantastic. So I think we can all forgive Dennis Hopper's remaining filmography besides, of course, Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, well, yes. And yes, he played King Koopa in the 1993
Good God.
Super Mario Brothers film. With nobody's finest hour. Bob Hoskins, though, I don't know if that I believe it was before. He was able to redeem himself not so long thereafter because of Hook, which is admittedly one of my top three all-time films of all time. Yes.
Hook?
Yes.
With Robin Williams?
Yes, Williams. I know that is one of those films that you either love it or you hate it. I love it. I absolutely love it. Even though I think Spielberg has tried to retcon that movie.
I think so, and for good reason.
Come on. The only bad, Julia Roberts was the only bad casting choice. Uh-huh. That's it. Everything else was somewhat.
Great.
Of course, Robin there was still Williams some stuff.
Flying Peter Pan, arguably the hairiest actor in Hollywood, taking on
those knuckles. the knuckles. He has as much hair from my head on each knuckle, but nonetheless, we're turning this into. As far as Gene Hackman goes, too. By the way, I to see somebody so decorated go in such being again child of the 90s, the morbid side of it, unbecoming of a way for him to go out, that sort of is, it breaks your heart a little bit.
It's unfair to see someone
now you have this media sensation around it where they're wondering all of these morbid details that frankly in the end have no
if someone's listening to this and is like, what the hell are these guys talking about for 4 minutes straight?
I thought this was an Ice Roma podcast.
I know it's an Ice Roma, but you know, every week we should all make the best of every chance we get to learn something. If you haven't watched a movie with Gene Hackman, make the best of it. Check it out. He's made so many great movies. You got The Royal Tenenbaums. You got The Conversation. You got Unforgiven. You got The French Connection. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's just so, so much stuff to dig into. So go out there and enjoy and pay tribute to a legend. Now, for the good part, John.
Yeah, well, listen, the good part was that second half, because Roma, they come back. They get the quick goal from Salamakers, who, again, just the number itself that he has the balls to wear. My favorite number, being worn by a footballer I like and adore. Another goal for him coming on for Sule, who we can get into that, I suppose, later on after we get the good stuff out of the way. That was a bit of a curious decision, I thought, from Claudio Ranieri. Nonetheless, Salamakers, he gets the goal. Dovbik, he comes on too, and he puts it right into the back of the net from a cross that was quite literally by the millimeter, Andy, perfect by Wrench. And that was all she wrote. Now, of course, if you're just seeing the final score and watching highlights and you didn't catch the entirety of the match, that one was not for the faint of heart. And if any of you do have problems involving your heart, I'm sure you will need to be on the line tomorrow with your cardiologist, because, I mean, Andy, they were down to 10 men for what, the final 20 to 30 minutes?
30 minutes,
and yeah. 30 minutes, and they are still pounding and knocking at the door.
And Como get a post at the 87th minute, you know? Yes. I mean, that. So this was never going to be a walk in the park. And by all accounts, this was exactly the same team we faced in Como. It's just that this time Roma had the balls to react, because as we remember, the match at Como in the first leg, what didn't work? Well, the team was sleepwalking through most thinking that they can postpone a reaction. And then when they tried to react, it was too late and Como overwhelmed them. And this time, perhaps, obviously, the red card will always play a role in this. But Paulo Dybala made the best of that opportunity to draw another foul on him. And we saw a Roma that again, can rely on its players. Like, that is, yes, has to be, you know, a theme that we speak of when we look at this quite impressive streak that Claudio Ranieri was able to build, is that I believe if you look at the numbers and if you look at the players, almost everyone has been utilized. Almost everyone has been given a chance, and almost everyone has been contributed. I mean, for God's sakes, even Saud, whom we haven't seen in months, contributed with Ranieri at the helm. You know, there is somewhere a statistic that says Saud has one goal for Roma under Ranieri. So, you know, his ability to read situations and exactly pick and choose guys who then contribute, like Shomurodov. Shomurodov played in the last five games, you know, for Roma. Tonight, Artem Dovbyk comes back finally after the recent injury and provides what I consider one of the most important goals of the season, and Dovbyk continues to be that guy. He may not have scored so many goals as he did last year with Atletico Madrid at this point of the season, but every single one of his goals has been vital.
I need to correct you, Girona, because everybody was on my backside when I mentioned the Europa League. One of our pages was on my backside immediately, and I thank you for pointing it out when I mentioned the Europa League.
Girona, I was just thinking, I was just thinking about it's funny how the...
Hold on, you opened the door. I mean, the thing about this match, the second half, the substitutions were, spot on. Because towards the end, he could have added a third. He just had a very poor finish. But
Who reads Wrench's run from miles away? Cristante. Cristante delivers a perfect pass for Wrench, who immediately hits it, doesn't even control it. It's a beautiful action. But that action, I think, is very characteristic of Ranieri's Roma. Every goal seems to come off either someone's being utterly brilliant, like Dybala or Salamakers, who have made it their living so far in this campaign to actually gift Roma some pearls, or Sule with that beautiful free kick a few games ago. But above all, you get an instance, you get a sensation that finally the team helps each other out. Everybody's helping each other out. So even in a situation where Roma go down against Como, yes, they get one goal back before that red card on the Como player, but then everybody works together to get that second goal. We don't get selfish. We don't get stupid. You know, we don't get too cocky. And that was a beautiful thing to see, because I was afraid that perhaps we may get, you know, a team that takes the result for granted. They think to themselves, well, we scored one goal and Como have one man down, so we got plenty of time, you know, taking it easy. This kind of stuff that we saw in the first leg against Como, the kind of stuff that we saw against AZ Alkmaar. No, this time Roma got it right. And I think if we look at these four consecutive wins in Serie A, the theme is that Roma are finally starting to learn what it means to be a team, how to play as a team. And no matter who's on the pitch, because we've seen all kinds of formations recently, you know, I mean, even tonight we got Sule on the right because Salamakers is not feeling too well, as Ranieri explained in the after post-match reaction. We got Hummels back on the bench after playing against Monza. You know, he's constantly changing things, just small things, but I mean, everybody's getting a chance, and that's the beautiful thing, because how many times, John, have we seen that whenever Roma would just make a small, tiny, insignificant change, the whole machine would fall apart, right? Because, oh, there is no Paulo Dybala, or oh, there, oh, Pellegrini got injured, or oh, he's playing through an injury, you know, and that would be our excuse. But with Ranieri, there is no excuses. Everybody is asked to perform. And so far, everybody is giving him the reactions that he's hoping to get.
Well, absolutely. And I have to give another shout to my boy, because everybody loves to shoot the strays towards his direction every single time he makes a mistake. You said Hummels on the back again. Zeki Salik, he was superb again tonight. I thought he put in a fantastic performance. Fantastic performance. And as a fullback,
to the point that I'm worried if he's going to be available against Athletic Bilbao, you know, like that's how good he's been recently, that the prospect of not having him on Thursday is making me feel a bit insecure. So yeah, he was fantastic. Like, really, it's been an impressive turnaround for a player who, for the majority of his spell at Roma, was never really given the kind of responsibility that probably he was hoping to receive. We've seen him sort of cast out to the shadows for large spells throughout these last 2 years. We've seen him on the bench for the national team, you know, being played in the final seconds under Vincenzo Botella. So clearly a player who is struggling with confidence. In recent weeks with Ranieri, he's been a completely different guy from the one that we were used to seeing.
Well, entirely. And obviously the guy, it's been an interesting spell for him at Roma, as you said. Certainly didn't receive the responsibilities or the time that I'm sure he was envisioning. He was in this very weird battle on the right side where you had him, Rick Karsdorp, and why am I blanking on his name, who was here last season, who came on loan from Leeds. Help me. He's in the Bundesliga.
Erasmus Christensen.
Thank you. Yes. Oof. Long season. And you're in this very weird sort of rotation where there's not a single one of the three that is impressive enough to maintain or hold down the position of first choice. And then almost by sort of emergency situation, De Rossi is the one who begins to use him as a central defender. And of course, he's had a number of performances where you think to yourself, oh my gosh. And I can understand why some of the strays are thrown into his direction. But let's be very clear, at least for the last 3 to 5 weeks, he has been about as steady as one could possibly hope for from a central defender, which, by the way, Andy, listen, Roma, that guy where Ezekiel Salik is playing right now. That is what they brought Nelson in for in January. That was supposed to be him. Ezekiel Salik was not even supposed to factor into the conversation. They brought in Nelson from Galatasaray.
Yeah, yep. As an additional center back. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah. To be that name. Ezekiel Salik was even nowhere in the conversation. In fact,
yeah.
I know his agent very well.
At the most, he was supposed to rotate with Salamakers on the right flank. That's what.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, and to see now where, as you said, I actually agree with you. The potential of him not being there against Bilbao is something that is a bit worrying, because that is how good he has been. So I had to set at least some time aside from him, because
I agree. He's been very good. He's been excellent. And he's part of the reason why Roma came back in that second half. We saw Ranieri take off Shomurodov. We saw him put on Baldanzi, Dovbik, and Rensch. So basically everybody that came on contributed to this win, which is, again, really, for me, like, I'm just not used to that feeling of seeing the team make the change and then get exactly what they want from that change. You know, like, I've seen so many times these substitutions or changes in formation or schemes, whatever, being counterproductive, that to actually finally see this team spring to life when needed most, you know, they didn't look sluggish. You know, when Como got that red card, the team just didn't sit back. They didn't think, oh, well, now it's going to be easy. No, they understood that they had to get this game over with. It was too important. As we're recording this, Lazio and Milan are playing against each other. By the time this episode is released, we will know who came out on top, if someone's came out on top. But the thing that was so vital was, once again, you're facing, yes, in theory, you know, a minor team that you should be beating, no problem. But the moment that this match came in was huge. After beating the worst team in the league, to face a side like Como, who have been really, really good, who have exceeded expectations, was perhaps the trickiest match you could play at the moment. You couldn't really, because, you know, it's not a big match. You can't really, after beating the worst team in the league, it'd be natural to go from 0 to 100 and play, say, Napoli or Inter, whoever, you know, Juve. But this is right down the middle. You know, and we all know how Roma struggle in these situations when you have to prepare yourself mentally, but it just has to come from you. It just has to come from the realization what the moment requires. And I think the second half was a beautiful showing of a team that understands and takes matters into its own hand. Doesn't let that red card dictate the way the game should be played. They use that red card to spur themselves on. And that was fantastic, because it came at exactly the right time.
Well, and two, you sort of hit the nail on the head. Going down a goal, we are so used to Roma season after season. It doesn't matter which manager is at the helm. It almost seems like their habit is, when they go down a goal, particularly against a team that is vastly inferior to them, they just don't have it in them to find that character, to buckle down, find the discipline, find the character, and not only level the score, but to come back. I mean, we could find several examples just within the previous 24 months, whether it's under Juric, Mourinho, Daniele De Rossi. It's actually nice to see a team play with, you know, some balls and actually get mad at themselves, and, as you always say, understand the assignment and go out there and execute. Because how many times, I mean, I always go to Cremonese because that's probably the most standout example, but I mean, Cremonese, whether it was in the league or the Coppa Italia, where they nearly Roma nearly lost it for themselves not so long ago, you can find it season after season, almost like clockwork, where Roma, they will find themselves against an opponent they should defeat and get all 3 points very easily, and they make life 100,000 times more difficult on themselves for very banal reasons, very stupid reasons, and it is always self-inflicted. But now you can actually see a team that plays cohesively and, as you say, understand the assignment and go out there and secure the 3 points. And the other thing about this too that you touched upon earlier, Ranieri's ability to get something out of nearly everybody who has entered on the pitch for this team, whether it be some of the newer guys, the younger guys. Again, the adage I like to use about the January transfer market, as long as you could get something that is above the level of a corpse, it's a positive. And if you just look at the last two January transfer markets alone, they've been able to get guys in terms of just value. I think it's been superb. I mean, value to a level that, again, the gold standard of January transfer markets, 2015, 2016, where you get Perotti, El Shaarawy. That is, I think, huge. We're in the middle of the season, a team that you know is lacking in depth, that is lacking in energy, and you are able to get guys that are able to contribute immediately. I think that's huge. I was struck by Ranch too. I mean, he comes on and within 2.5 minutes, he delivers that pinpoint assist to Dovbyk, which again,
so difficult again. So, yes. So he reads the open space in front of him, and then that ball is so difficult to handle, and he just puts it so softly in front of Dovbyk. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. Like Dovbyk doesn't even have to put any kind of power on it because the ball is just, it's right there for him on the silver platter. So that's, as you say, that's already that one single contribution already sort of justifies the signing of someone like Rensch in January, right? Because you already get something there. Like that is an assist that gives you 3 points tonight, right? So that signing in of itself, that's 3 points.
I mean, that's more than we can say about your man, the dreadlock sensation.
Jonathan Silva.
Yeah.
Even Clément Grenier contributed to a win against Palermo, right? So
yes.
even the legendary Clément Grenier, whom I've always was fond of, contributed to that. Jonathan Silva, unfortunately not, but we all remember, you know, Sergio Oliveira comes in unexpectedly and helps everybody out. Diego Llorente, of course. And now we can start looking at this lineup of players. Even the fact that Gurna Duarte and Salah were able to already play a couple of games for Roma, you know, and give the guys that they came to replace a breather. It's that's in of itself is precious, right? That is in of itself crucial at this point in the season. Look at Inter, look at Napoli. They're all dying. They're dying right now. Physically, they're dying. Those are teams, and Inter especially. I don't know how long they will last at the top of Serie A table. Perhaps they'll win the Scudetto. Who knows? But you can tell that is a team that is struggling, because they were not able to invest in the transfer market and give the crucial guys a breather. So you have guys like Di Marco or Thuram who get injured, and who's there to save them? Who's there to replace them? That's something that Roma cannot afford to do, especially after that terrible first half of the season. Now is the time to exactly start stacking up these results, and it all starts with those individual performances that Ranieri somehow has been able to get, perhaps not consistently. You see, a guy like Sule will have a bunch of good games and then a bad game, you know, and Tommaso Baldanzi will not always have immediate impact, you know, but he's able to get just enough to get us through, you know, and perhaps that's been Ranieri's career, perhaps with the exception, obviously, of the miracle with Leicester. That's always been his theme of just getting what needs to be gotten from a set of players and moving on, right? And that is what Ranieri is doing right now. He just wants to get Roma home safe and sound, and then he wants to retire, go back to his wife, watch TV with his slippers on at 9:30 o'clock in the evening, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, go to church. That's it.
Amen. So by proxy now, we have to, at least for 30 seconds, ask the question of top four. Apparently, we have to do this
again, time, every time. Each time we get a result.
They demanded of us.
Wait a second. When we were losing every single game in the first half of the season, we were supposed to debate the possibility of dropping to Serie B. Now that we win more consistently, we have to each time touch upon the possibility of getting top four. That's only crazy. That's what it means to be a Roma fan.
Yeah, true. But in fairness, there have been guys who have been doing this like countdown since December. So they can have their plaudits, I guess, to some extent. We have to give them credit for hanging on, or at least being the first to cite that Roma were going to turn it around all the way back in December, I guess. Listen, it's not as if the situation changes. That's why I really enjoy taking this discussion of top four match by match, because very little is going to change in between then, as far as on a single week to another weekend basis. So maybe we can talk about it again in 1 month. That's what I would prefer to do. But nonetheless, Roma, they are still, depending on what happens with Lazio, if they are able to get a victory against Milan, and then obviously Juve, they still have yet to play. Tonight they face Verona. So either way, they're going to be either Lazio right now with the live standings. They're at 50 points in fourth position. Roma have 43 and are in eighth position. They would have been helped. Cagliari absolutely dropping the ball today against Bologna at the Dallara. Had a 1-0 lead, and naturally they can see twice. Listen, the fact, Andy, that we are even having this conversation, or can even entertain the possibility of having this discussion in and of itself, is a testament to Ranieri as to whether or not our sensations have changed as to whether it is possible. The maths, of course, say it is possible. So just by definitionally, it is possible. Do I like their chances? No, but you know, we've seen crazier things happen. Some have posed the question to us, if you were them, would you get to the moment where you prioritize Europa League over top four? And I this is like 7 years in a row, it seems like, where we have a discussion, which it would be nice to be at some point where we don't have to do that. But I guess I understand the mindset. I don't think Roma, with all due respect, at least right now, they are not in a position to prioritize one over the other. Because, again, when you have a first 2 to 3 months of a season shit, you drop any sort of ability to bypass any competition, any game, because of how crap you've been. So that having been said, I don't think they're going to make that decision where they prioritize one over the other, because I think we saw with De Rossi last season, it became very clear, particularly after that miracle against Milan, where it was Europa League in basta, so to speak, where it was one track mind, which was understandable. I mean, you get that victory at San Siro, and you have a very, very strong opportunity at advancing. I understand it. But right now,
even Ghisolfi pointed tonight to the fact that the position in the league table will be crucial for Roma's transfer budget in the summer. Okay, so even the sporting director sort of came out tonight to sort of make it clear that will, if anyone needed further confirmation, that will definitely, do a lot for us, both in the good and the bad, depending on where we end up. That's our transfer budget, okay, for the summer. So I think that was Ghisolfi saying, guys, hold your horses. Don't get too far ahead of ourselves, because we have one job, and that job is to get as close to, obviously, top four as possible. That was always sort of the original objective for Roma. We only started talking about Serie B because Roma were in a horrendous position. I mean, even the fact that Ranieri has been able to get 30 points in 15 games, that means that we had 13 points without him. Okay, let that sink in. The man has been able to do over double of the initial points. I mean, look, you know, it's been a long season. It's still far from over. Roma, this is for me, it's the clearest case of think game by game. It's like, it's a thing that we hear footballers say all the time. It's bland, it's cliche. Can Roma get top four? Well, realistically, if they keep playing like this, sure, they can keep up with it just about anybody if they keep on getting results, if they keep on putting these types of performances where you see that the team really cares. And they, first of all, and they also know not to panic. But then everything else comes along and we have exactly a Europa League fixture that we're looking for. And then it's going to be tough. We have already played two unnecessary games because we put ourselves in a position to play once more, two more games in a season that is already long and crowded. So I'm actually looking forward to the international break. Perhaps I shouldn't, but I do think that
yes. It
will be good. It will be good to clear our minds a bit. You know, the team is doing well, but I do think that this hectic schedule can get the best of any team. And Roma are no exception right now.
No, they aren't. For Bilbao, though, the first leg being at the Olympico, always a bit more particular when you have the reverse fixture being away, it always makes it a bit more difficult. Listen, in this first one, you have to win at least 2-0, or at least by 2 goals.
Obviously you have to be comfortable going back to Spain. That's the thing. That's the challenging thing about the first game being at home is that yes. You are required to put on a really good shift. You are required to play with energy after having played in the league. You know, Athletic will go to Roma and they'll be just like, okay, we can shut ourselves up, try to suffer the least possible, recover some energy, and then finish the job at home. Roma can't do that. Roma, correct, after winning against Como, which even Mancini said tonight was one of the most difficult game of the last few weeks, after this, they have, 3 days to recover? And that's when they play against the Athletic. So that's why I say game by game, because, you know, we may be sitting here and praising and having a good old time and talking about 4 consecutive wins in Serie A happening for the first time since 2020. But the narrative can change really quickly. You know, we know how it works. That's why I say international break is very much welcome, because sometimes it can get too hectic for Roma, even when everything's going well. It's hard to keep a hand on the pulse in this city. It's very hard. And sometimes if you are not careful, the situation can slip from under you. And that's when you start having trouble. That's when you lose. That's when you drop your focus, you drop your concentration. Athletic, in my opinion, go into this match at the Olympico feeling confident and comfortable because they know what they can count on going back home. Roma, on the other hand, they really need to muster some serious strength and energy, because as you say, we have to win by at least 2 goals. To just feel confident and comfortable, just like Athletic will going back home, we need to win this thing by 2 goals.
Yeah, Bilbao, they did good against Atletico Madrid at the weekend. Second half goal was the only thing that sunk them. So they will feel at least somewhat confident. They will be able to put in a good performance. Again, Roma need to win by 2 goals. We will see what happens. And that is when we will return again after the first leg in the midweek Europa League. So until then, everyone, ciao.
Ciao.